I welcome family and friends here today. Frank, where's your family? That whole side. Oh, yeah. They definitely look like Redicops, that's for sure. Yeah. Abe, are you related to them? Oh, okay. Well, you and Frank got a similar beard, so I thought maybe you're related. Okay. And Killian, where's your family? Just a little bit here, a little bit there. If you're related to Killian, put your arm up, and I don't want the whole church to do it, okay? Okay, yeah, good. And Alex and Anna, where's your family? Somewhere back there? If you're related to Alex and Anna, put your hand up. Okay, good. Family's here. Mia, is your family here? Yeah? You got grandma and grandpa here too, right? All the way from Germany? Where are they located? Put your hands up. Okay, good. Welcome here. Thank you for family and friends for coming today and celebrating with them. And I want you to realize that what they are embarking upon here today as they take this journey is to mark out what we refer to in Scripture as being disciples. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28 for a moment. As the Lord Jesus was about to ascend, and in other words, leaving this earth and going back to heaven, he told his disciples that he would return. But in the meantime, they had some work to do. And that work would be one of evangelism. It would be a work of discipleship. And all of that in these, what we refer to as the inter-Advent period, meaning from his first coming to his second coming. Now, I believe the Lord Jesus could return before Killian gets to be put in the tank. What do you think, Killian? But you don't want to miss this part either, do you? You know, I can remember the day I got baptized, and I was watching others being baptized. My mother was baptized that day as well. And I remember thinking to myself, what if the Lord was to return right now? And so as I went into the water, it was at Butler Lake at Northland Bible Camp. I was 16 years old, and I decided I am going to open my eyes as I'm coming up through the water. Because it was a beautiful blue sky, nice birch trees along the lake, and people were singing along the shoreline. And it was a very surreal moment. And I thought, Lord, if you were to come now, this would just be right perfect. And so who knows, that could happen today. But in the meantime, we have a job to do. So Matthew chapter 28, let me read. Very familiar verses for those of you who come to Faith Evangelical Bible Church and Emmaus Bible Church, and it's certainly a pleasure to have those of you who've come from Emmaus Bible Church. Jesus met with his disciples just before leaving earth, and he says, all authority is given in heaven and on earth, given to me, has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, these men had been with Jesus for 3+ years and had gotten to know the Lord. You know, who spoke like this man spoke? Yet who is this who can calm the seas, can raise people to life, and by his word and by his touch can heal the sick? And so a disciple was one who would become a learner and a follower of the Lord Jesus. And if you know the Lord Jesus today, I trust that you want to be a follower and a learner. You say, well, no, I'm not sure that I'm not sure I'm a follower, and I, you know, this learning, that's a little hard. After all, I don't really want to be taught by anybody. We're actually always being taught by somebody. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter how independent we are. Someone's influencing us. But these disciples were very intentional. Said, I want the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, to influence my life in the way that I think and the way that I live. And so a disciple would be someone who would be recognized by the fact that they would be willingly identified with the person of the Lord Jesus in his life, death, resurrection, and his ongoing work of intercession in eternity. Now, this identification with the Lord Jesus in terms of an outward act would be seen through a person saying, I want to follow Jesus, and I want to do so through the waters of baptism, because the waters of baptism will speak symbolically of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But it also means that as I identify with the Lord Jesus, I am turning my back on today's worldly values, and I'm embracing God's agenda and his program for my life. And so as we read in Matthew 28, baptism would be done with the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And of course, the second mark of being a disciple is that you and I would live out in obedience to the Lord Jesus all that Jesus commanded us. Now, you know at this point that you're willing at times, but there's times when you're not willing. In fact, there are times when we'd have to confess that we don't know how to respond. Or our natural inclination to respond is faulty, and we know there's a better way, but we just don't find ourselves living that way. I'm going to ask you to put the slide up, if you don't mind. So if you have your Bibles, I've got the scripture references on my page, but if you have your Bibles, I'm going to make reference. In fact, some of these passages, we're not going to go through all of them, we're just going to take a select few, and you can follow along. Now, if you have the memorized translation, it's not going to be very difficult for you, because you're just going to see the reference and automatically it's going to pop to your mind. But most of us don't have all of the scriptures memorized, so if you have a Bible, just follow along, because it might be at that moment in time that the Spirit of God may take the Word of God and may say, you know something, this is a verse you want to underline, because this verse has a lot of impact for your life. And there's no better time to learn than when you're under the sound of the Word and the Spirit of God is using it. So the first step in discipleship is to believe. Believe. I believe what? Of course, we always want to know what the content is, but the content is simply believing in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus. We know that along Jesus' ministry, there were people who would have believed in him who never witnessed his death and resurrection because they died before he went to the cross. They would clearly be believers. There would be people who believed never having seen the death and resurrection, but who believed subsequent and never having met the Lord Jesus. They too would be believers. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. In John chapter 3 verse 16, which is by and large a favorite verse of most people, and every Sunday school child has been encouraged to memorize it, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now I want you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. So we've looked at the first step. Simply believe. The second step in discipleship is baptism. In Romans chapter 6, we took our baptismal candidates through. Of course, we helped them understand the first step. We helped them understand the clarity and the simplicity of the gospel. And let me say to you that if you have never understood the gospel, it's so very simple. But what we tend to do is we tend to complicate it. We tend to make it say things it doesn't say. And then we try to make people do things to which before we would say that now you're a believer. Listen, you're a believer the moment that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's it. You're a believer. The fact that he died and rose again and is interceding for you is something that you grow to appreciate as time goes on, as you read the word. So water baptism, as we're going to see here today, is simply a symbol of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which effected our identification. Well, when did that happen? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. I know you've got Romans 6. We're going to be there, so keep your finger there. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. We're going to come back to this a little bit and just talk about it briefly. For we were all baptized, it says, by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so by believing in the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God takes you as a believer and places you into the body of Christ, as it were. Again, it's a picture, simply to help us appreciate the significance of the symbolism of baptism. Now, over to Romans chapter 6. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Buried with him through baptism into death. In other words, our baptism signifies that we understand the necessity of the death, the resurrection, and yes, the life of Christ. But the death itself was necessary in order that sin might be judged. Passage that Nick read to us out of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23 to 28, signify the significance and the value of the death of Christ. Turn one page back in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. You see then, at just the right time, when we were powerless, still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Yeah, that's you and me. Christ died for each person. And we looked at 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 today. Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Not only for ours, but for each one. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God for that. Let's go over to chapter 6, verse 10, Romans 6, 10. Jesus did die, and the death that he died, we read in verse 10, he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Yes, Christ died to sin once for all. In other words, sin had no hold, no power over the Lord Jesus, although he was tempted in every manner, just as we are, yet without sin, we read. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." And then a reference that we made to 1 John 2:2, which we looked at this morning. It says that he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now you might say, well, I don't believe any of that stuff. That's okay. In fact, long before I believed, the Lord Jesus died for me. The fact that I didn't believe it had no impact on his work. His work was still sufficient, efficient, and that he actually did die for all the people of all time, dealt with all the sin of all people of all time. The Lord Jesus, of course, is the only one who could acquit us of our sin, acquit us of our guilt before God. He would say that you're forgiven, Killian, by virtue of your faith in the Lord Jesus. And so only by faith in the person of the Lord Jesus, Frank, could you be granted the gift of life. And we talked about that at length. So when Christ died, we died with him. Now this is where when you read Romans chapter 6, you start to say, okay, now, I'm not sure if I can catch that. So we're down at verses 5 to 7, okay, in Romans 6. And so our baptism signifies our death with Christ, and hence we are united with Christ in his death. And so verses 5 to 7 says, if we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Now, I believe in the resurrection. I believe that one day I will, unless the Lord returns, and it could be before we baptize Killian, okay? Actually, I wouldn't mind it if it was before you, because you're much bigger. And I'm concerned I might drown. But at any rate, yeah. I believe in the resurrection. And I believe that at that moment when I die, I'm anticipating the voice of the Lord Jesus calling believers to a resurrection. Yes, we will be united with him in his resurrection, for we know that our old self was slaves. Oftentimes got a menial pay for a lot of work. And at times they were mistreated and abused. But you see, that's what sin does. It treats us unfairly. It exploits us and it destroys us, so that we live in despair and hopelessness. But you see, in this case here, Christ died, and as we are united with him like him in his death, it is so that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. I've now been set free from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. Give me the next slide. Is that the second one? Okay. Okay, good. Somehow I'm looking at the little Roman numerals and I'm not sure if they're lining up quite the way I have it in my notes here. So when we died to sin, and so our baptism, okay, Alex and Anna, our baptism signifies that we recognize that sin no longer need have control over us. I can say no to it. Dead people are no longer controlled by the passions of their bodies, and so sin no longer has a hold on them. Therefore, we need no longer be controlled by the passions, the evil desires of our bodies at times, but rather we have a choice to make. Whereas we recognize that dead people no longer have opportunities to choose, and hence after they die, they're awaiting judgment, as we read in Hebrews 9:27. Judgment for the deeds done in the body while they were alive. And although free to choose, there are times when we don't choose rightly, And if we don't confess it, guess what? We'll be held accountable for it. Not as it relates to our destiny, but as it relates to our reward. Romans chapter 6, verses 2 to 4 that we read, where it says, by no means we died to sin, how can we live in it any longer, is a rhetorical question. It has an obvious answer. Of course we're not going to live in sin any longer. Why would I do that? I've been set free from it by virtue of my death with Christ. So come down to verse 11, Romans 6, 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Come on now, look. That's the point. Paul's saying, just accept this as a fact in your life. Can you appreciate that you are dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus? Next slide. Sorry, go back one. Okay. Resurrected with him unto life. Our baptism signifies that we understand that the resurrection of Christ procured new life for us. New life. Again, oftentimes when we think of new life, we think of a newborn child. And that's an appropriate picture. And we love the fact that they're so dependent upon us. And we love to coddle them and cuddle them and diapers, I'm not sure. And as long as they don't make too much noise and don't squawk and, you know, interrupt us in the middle of the night, we're okay. But you see, there's maturity that takes place. You see, our baptism signifies that we understand that the resurrection of Christ not only procured new life, and this life, of course, is not simply forever life after we die, but it's actually new life now. I have resurrected life now, and it gives me an opportunity to live for God the way in which I was originally created to live. Verse 6, Romans 6, 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. And so sin is to be rendered powerless. Now, obviously, I'm convinced that in this room, everybody here has sinned at some time. Today, maybe, if you had to. No, there's times when you and I sin and we're not conscious of it. But there are times when we sin and we know it. You say, well, this body of sin, by the way, is not so much this physical body, but this living in this state of sinfulness where I am constantly fighting this battle where I'm being defeated. And so when Christ died and I died with him, I died so that this body of sin or the way that I've been living can stop and I can make different choices. Now, these choices come by the work of the Spirit indwelling me and persuading me to make different choices than the ones I've made. And hence, I mature. Because now I realize that some of those choices that I've made are not always good for me or even for others. I'm resurrected to no longer be slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. Down to verse 6, it says again that we know that our old self was crucified with him. And so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Come down to verses 12 and 13. So Mia, you're the youngest. It says here, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Ben Wheeler, where are you? Oh boy, you're right up front here. Ben, do you remember the first time we talked about this? Evil desires out of James chapter 1. I sure remember your reaction. Yeah, we were sitting in a Bible class and I looked at Ben. I said, you know, Ben, you have evil desires. And he looked at himself, so to speak, and said, I do? Yeah, all of us struggle with these things in life. And there's still going to be times when you're going to be tempted to struggle with your evil desires. But now you can say no, Killian. Okay? So therefore, verse 12, 13, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin. In other words, do not consciously do this as instruments of wickedness, but rather consciously offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. That's what God wants you to do. Galatians 2:20. If you have your Bibles, underline this verse. If you already got it underlined, great. If you haven't memorized it, you should. The Apostle Paul spent a lot of time trying to convince the Galatians, who are now being duped, being actually deceived into believing a different gospel. And the gospel that they were being deceived into believing, that was that Jesus' death on Calvary's cross wasn't sufficient. They needed to be circumcised. They needed to conform to some law. And so Paul writes, as I have been crucified with Christ, past tense, speaking to his position in the Lord Jesus, nevertheless I live. Because you see, crucifixion in the Roman world brought complete death. There wasn't going to be any life after that. No, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And Christ is to live in you, Frank, as you reflect upon your position and the indwelling work of the Spirit of God in your life. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, Alex, I live by faith. I live by faith, trusting, believing, by faith in the Son of God who loves me, loved me and gave himself for me. Baptism, of course, is a recognition of our position in the body of Christ. I think we're on the next slide. Hey, there we are. See, I've been wanting to get there so long. Okay. Which we looked at, 1 Corinthians 12:13. We're all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all given the one Spirit to drink. In Ephesians 4 and 4, verses 4 and 5, it says there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And I want you to realize that the word one baptism here is not about the water. It's not about the water. It's about having been baptized into the body of Christ by virtue of the Spirit. And so as the water symbolizes, I just want you to understand that those of you who grew up in Roman Catholicism or Lutheranism, you experienced infant baptism. And so I've been baptized twice. So those of you who want to get hung up on the one baptism, don't do that. That's not Paul's point. Paul's point is not about whether you went through the water. It's that you have been placed in the body by the Spirit. That's the point. Titus 3:5 says that the picture, where we have a picture of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, says that, but when the kindness and love of God, and if you've got your Bibles, turn there. We have two verses here you want to underline. Because you see, if you want to think about the kindness and love of God, and you should every day. Woke up this morning, windows were open, and of course I could hear birds. And Renee gets pretty excited. She sees a bunny out on our front yard. They're a nuisance. Oh, sorry, I didn't say that. God's creation, need to love them. Rabbit stew. I've watched Bugs Bunny. When the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, now we're looking way beyond creation. We're looking into the depths and the purpose for which God sent his Son. See, the love and the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared in the person of the Lord Jesus. He says he saved us not because of righteous things we had done. Not because you're a good person. Not because people tell you you're good. Not because you've walked little old ladies across the street. Not because you sold cookies for the brownies. Nothing like that. But because of his mercy. And today, you and I, we stand in his mercy. And so as you walk through the waters of baptism, you're under the mercy of God. And you want to be aware of that. But not for a first time. Everyone here in the room needs to be aware that they're recipients of the mercy of God. And so he saved us through the washing of rebirth, to which the water, again, symbolically helps us to appreciate, and a renewal by the Holy Spirit. Third step in discipleship is growing in our fellowship with God our Savior. Turn your Bibles to John 15, verses 4 to 7. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. What a beautiful thought. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. The King James Version has it. The Greek word meno has to do with this intimate fellowship with God. How could you and I possibly have intimate fellowship with God? Well, we do it prayerfully. We do it by faith. We take the promises of the Word of God and we take them to heart and we believe them. And so John says, remain through, pardon me, the Lord Jesus, as the Apostle John records it here, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And so fruitfulness in your life has to do not with growing a grape on your ear. What a picture, right? Imagine us going around, I'm fruitful. Hey, you want an orange? No, the fruitfulness in your life and my life has to do with us loving one another, helping each other, forgiving one another, confessing our sins to one another. Have you ever thought that confessing your sins is just one way of you being fruitful? You know, we all have shortcomings. I have more than I'd care to admit. You see them more obviously than I do. And there's others who see them more glaringly in your life than their own. You see, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Underline that. You see, this is not simply about hearing their testimonies today. It's about them making a decision to follow Jesus and to learn from Jesus and to take everything that Jesus has commanded them to live and then to bear fruit. But that's also true for you and I who have already been baptized. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. This is imagery. It's not about going to hell, but it speaks of judgment in your life. What kind of judgment? Well, sometimes things happen in your life that you say, you know, I know that's a consequence of my choices. Sometimes things happen in your life, you say, well, what's going on here? There may be some sin that you're living in that you shouldn't be. And God has found a way to discipline you when you thought you could get away with it. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Beautiful thought as it relates to prayer. 1 John 2:24 says, see, what you have heard from the beginning remains in you, and if it does, you also remain in the Son and in the Father. Step 4, growing in truth. In John 8:31 and 32, we have you and I abiding in God's word, and as we do, it sets us free. Free from what? The power of sin in your life. B, truth, to be freed from the power of sin. Romans 6, 7. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin, as we looked at. And then truth number 3, the ability to love God and to love people. Matthew 22, 37 to 39, the two great commandments. The fifth step in discipleship is this: to grow in obedience. You know, it's going to be pretty exhilarating going into the water and not being down there too long. Frank, I'm concerned for you. But you see, after you come out of the waters of baptism, there's this life to be lived. And I know something about each of us, because I know as I look at my own life and I look into the mirror of God's word, I know that I struggle with obedience. I want to do it my way. John 14:21 says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me." You want to be marked as someone who loves God? Obey him. "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." You know, to be loved by your Father in heaven is the sweetest love there is, because it's a gracious love. It's a love that understands that you're wayward. No, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He doesn't spank us every time. But then there are times when he does, and we're grateful that he does. Maybe not in a moment, but we soon realize. John 13:34-35, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." Now, listen to this next statement, if you haven't got this underlined. "By this, all men, for whom Jesus had died, will know that you are my disciples, my followers, my learners." How many of you have got your learners? I know most of you had your learners when you started driving. Still can't drive, but I still got my learners, because I'm still learning how to live for the Lord Jesus. And I need someone in next to me to tell me when I'm going wrong. Now, there are times when my wife tells me that, times when you tell me that, times when my kids tell me that. And initially, we sort of respond, "Well, who are you to tell me? Look at your own life." Hold it. Don't do that. Just say, "You know something? I'm sorry, you're right. I'm wrong. Just get it out." Right? You do that often, Alex? Confession's healthy. Yeah. "By this all men will know, my disciples, if you love one another. Whoever claims," 1 John 2:6, "to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And now, dear children," 1 John 2:28, "continue in him, obey him, walk with him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming." Discipleship's a process, Killian. It's a process of maturing. Maturing in our understanding, Mia, which means that you'll need to read the scriptures every day for the rest of your life. Are you up to it? Good. How about you, Anna? You up to reading the scriptures every day? Aren't they refreshing? Mm-hmm. And so this is going to be a lifelong process. Today is just a marked decision that everybody here in this room gets to hear. Simply you saying this: "I want to be a disciple. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to continue to learn and obey his word for the rest of my life. And when I fail," it's when you fail, "when I fail, I'll be quick to confess it and ask God for his forgiveness." And so there's going to be days when you're going to grow in your truth. And then there's going to be days when you're going to grow in your obedience. But you can't grow in obedience in the absence of truth. And so the challenge for us in this room, as we're part of the 21st century church, is: are we willing to teach truth, and are we willing to model obedience out of a deep appreciation for what the Lord Jesus has done for us? May the Lord give you thought, consideration. Yes, we're going to be excited when we hear them share their testimony. And for some of us, it's going to spur us on. It's going to help us. But listen, after they have left the stage, you need to leave here walking in truth and obedience. But what is true of you is also true of me. So may we take to heart the life, the death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. Everything you sung. We're now going to have the baptismal candidates come up and share their testimonies. And I'm going to ask Frank to come up this time. Frank's asked me to read this for him, and only because he's not feeling overly comfortable with speaking out loud, and he's concerned that I might have to pick him up off the floor, and I don't want to do that. So, anything you want to say, though?
Nope.
Okay, so he starts off with, "My name is Frank Redekop. I grew up thinking I had everything I needed in life. All the earthly things in life were the things that made me happy. I then felt something was missing in my life. It felt empty and I felt alone. I'd been told about Christ before, but I didn't want to follow the path of the Lord because it seemed too complicated and confusing. But my brother never gave up on me. He always asked me to come to church with him, and slowly I gave in to attending church regularly. While attending church, I realized that I'm a sinner in need of God's grace. God died on the cross for my sins. He created me. He loves me. At that point, I gave my all to the Lord, and I found happiness. I was filled with love, joy, and was at peace. I wanted, and I will continue, to fully serve him and keep growing in Christ because I would be lost without him in my life. Since I've accepted Christ in my heart, Christ has done amazing things in my life and has led me to a wonderful young woman to help me walk with the Lord. He's given me numerous opportunities to serve him. He's led me to a church where I can serve him, and he has blessed me with countless things. I've seen and felt his everlasting love on me. I've seen God work in the lives of others, and I want to dedicate my life to Christ so that I might be a light to others in the world. I'm excited to be dedicating my life to Christ today, and as an act of obedience, I'm getting baptized because by simply believing in Jesus, I've been granted the gift of eternal life, which began the moment I first believed." I'm going to call Alex and Anna up at this time and have you come together. How's that? And that way he can lean on you, you can lean on him. This is a husband-wife team, and when we were doing the interviews, come on up. Alex came in and was listening to the baptismal classes, and so I asked him to stay behind a little bit. I said, "Alex, would you like to be baptized?" And he said, "Yes." Now, I've known Alex since about there somewhere, and look what's happened. And I haven't changed a bit. So anyway, the Lord bless you as you share your testimony. Don't be nervous. Enjoy.
How my life was before Christ. To be honest, I don't remember how it was. I was taught about Jesus from a very young age, of how he loves us and cares for us, and how he was crucified for our sins and resurrected. He conquered death so that we could have everlasting life. I knew that you had to accept Jesus into your heart and that you should want to follow him, and by doing so, you would also want to get baptized. I knew all these things, but once I was in my teens, I didn't seem so interested in doing any of these things. Stopped going to youth, and then after a while, stopped going to church. I felt like I didn't need Jesus. I found friends that should have been enough. But I felt lost, felt this emptiness, did things I regret, trying to fill this void, but nothing helped. A few years down the road, I met my wife. We got married and had our first child. I realized I wanted to raise my child in a Christian home, and I want her to grow up knowing who Jesus is and what he did for us and how he loves us. But even though we started going to church again and reading my Bible and praying at the dinner table and before bed, I only really understood how loving, understanding, and amazing our Father is once I was dealing with anxiety. I had been dealing with stuff which had been causing me anxiety. I had this fear and so much on my mind that I had been fighting with. I started a reading plan that dealt with anxiety, and it opened my heart, my eyes and heart. It helped me realize I need Jesus in my life. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, we read, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." And this is what I did. I cast all my worries, my fears, my sins, and all the weight that I was carrying, I brought to him and asked him for forgiveness and thanked Jesus for dying on the cross for our sins and resurrecting 3 days later and defeating death so that we may live with him forever. After I accepted God and cast all my anxiety and sin onto him, I felt so much relief and such a huge weight off my shoulder. I now know that God, with God in my life, I can have peace and serenity, and through him I can have everlasting life. And I know I'm a sinner and I'm not perfect, but God is working on me, and I still have lots to learn, and will do my best to be who the Lord wants me to be. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold, Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Growing up, I went to church, but I didn't fully understand what it meant to be a Christian. Thank you. I remember learning about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and resurrecting, but as a teen, I walked away from the faith I had, and I tried to live life without him. But then I saw what my life was like and who I had become without God. I was completely lost without him, and I realized that I needed God back in my life. So I began going to church and started living a life that would honor him. When I started to attend FEBC with Alex, my faith and my understanding of the gospel grew. I started reading my Bible and learned to listen to God and his will for my life. By going to church again, I found my way to Christ, and I knew I wanted him in my life and that I wanted to go to heaven. For as long as I can remember, I have believed in Jesus and that he died on the cross for our sins, and that if we believe, we receive the gift of eternal life. A verse that I learned as a kid and always go back to is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I can feel God working on me each day, teaching me and guiding me so that I can be the best wife, parent, and Christian. Being a Christian doesn't make me perfect, and I am still flawed, and I will continue to make mistakes. But God loves me despite all of that, and I want to continue to live a life that will honor God so that I can guide my family to him. I want my kids to learn and grow in a Christian home, and for my marriage to grow strong, and know that we need God in our lives, and God will never leave us nor forsake us. He has saved us from eternal separation from him.
In chatting with you, I certainly remember. That feels better, right? Yeah. Asking you, are you determined to read and to pray? To which both of you have agreed. And how each home here in this room, moms and dads, young people, how you need to pray together as a family. Yes, to worship God, but also to see your family as a lighthouse so that others might come to know the Lord Jesus. And so, Alex and Anna, may the Lord bless you as you do so. Mia, come on up. Good to see you. And, here's a young lady who has been able to articulate her faith at a young age, which is really great. And it's a privilege to have her grandparents here and her family. And just getting to know you has been a real delight, Mia. Share with us.
So I've been raised up in a Christian family and went to Sunday school since I was little. I was about 10 years old when we were in church. When the worship team came up, we all stood up to sing, and as we sung, the words went through my mind. We sat down again, and the words of the song went through my mind over and over again. That moment, I realized who Christ really was. I realized that I am a sinner and in need of God's grace. I would be lost without the Lord Jesus. From that moment, I tried to give my best to live a godly life and honor God. I gave my life to Christ and pleased him into my heart. I understood that simply believing in Christ, I have granted a gift of eternal life. My life continued and the years passed. So with 12 years, we moved to Canada, to my grandma, grandpa, uncles, aunt, and cousins. From there, my life started to change again. I got lost, lots of encouragement from my family and also from my grandma. Because every time my mom would have to go to work in the morning, she would come and tell us stories about how people became believers and their amazing miracles that God made in their lives. She would also tell us stories about Christ and the apostles. And even now when I'm 13, she has still some good stories to tell. My mom and dad were a huge support for me. And when I told my mom that I wanted to be baptized, she talked to me about what it means to be a believer. In John 3:16, it says that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life."
It's going to take Killian a while to get up here. I've known Killian since, about there, right? Yeah. And are we okay? Oh, he was 6. Okay, glad you got that confirmed. I wouldn't have remembered exactly what year that was. But Killian, I know that you love the Lord. You've been growing. And God had to get his attention, so broke his leg, and that's why he's up here. No. But Killian is growing and learning, wants to learn. And so I'm looking forward to a day when he's going to be preaching pretty regularly and learning. I know he's not looking forward to that, but I know I am. So anyway, Lord bless you as you share your testimony.
I brought a few of my own tools to lean on. So. Well, for those of you that don't know me, I'm Killian Giesprech. I've been going to this church for quite a while. I was born in Germany, and when I was 5, my family moved to Canada. So yeah, this is my testimony. I grew up in a Christian home, attended church regularly, and was often told stories from the Bible. I knew that a Christian should be loving and forgiving, and I understood that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and that by believing in him, I was granted the free gift of eternal life, and that this gift could not be lost. Even though I knew these things, I one day realized I had never actually placed my trust in God or asked him into my life. So I remember it was on a Christmas Eve after celebrating and spending time with family and friends. I was lying in bed and I prayed to God that he would take away my sin and asked him to come into my life. Slowly I started reading the Bible on a regular basis and appreciated more that I had been saved. But it didn't take long for me, and I was losing interest and started following my own desires for most of my high school years and a short while after. I didn't try to follow God's word, but live my own life. I was aware that I wasn't the man God wanted me to be, and the burden of sin grew day after day. Eventually, I realized that this is not the life I wanted. You know, I think most of my friends will agree with me when I say I don't have the best memory, but I can still remember this particular evening so clearly. I chose to leave behind the life that had consumed me. I prayed that God would forgive me for my sin and that he would give me strength to follow Jesus' path. Walking home that evening, it was already dark outside and calm, but it wasn't just calm outside, but for the first time in years, I felt calm on the inside. I was free and so excited. I was humbled by the love and mercy of the Lord, his patience, and how patient he still is. Now, as a man of God, I seek to live a godly life, to proclaim his message, to love, to rely on God as he gives me strength and shapes my character to mirror his. As a human, I would be lost without the Lord Jesus. I'm still a sinner and am in need of God's grace. I still fall, but with his Spirit and with his family surrounding me, I'm capable of a righteous life. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness."
Wrestling match. It's not. We did a little bit of a practice, and that's why I'm asking Frank to give me a little more water. I'm going to talk for a few more minutes. I'm sorry. Now, you got to be careful. I don't want you doing any back flops or anything like that, okay? Frank, I know that you love the Lord, and it's been a pleasure getting to know you, doing premarital counseling, and just getting a sense of your desire to walk by faith. It's great to have family here. And Dave, thanks for persevering. Where are you? Right there, buddy. You probably beat him up a few times as a kid, right? Because right now you don't have a chance. Or, yeah. You got to get a little closer to the wall here, bud, because you're a big guy. So, Frank, do you love the Lord?
Yes.
You believe that Jesus Christ and rose again and that he died for you?
Yes.
You believe that he's resurrected?
Yes.
You believe that by simply believing in him that you've been granted the gift of life?
Yes.
Based upon your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, I suspected someday I was going to baptize you. I just didn't know when. And it's always been a pleasure to have you and your siblings and Mom and Dad here today. Where's Dad? Is he here today? Okay. I'll give him a punch in the arm for me. Tell him I said hi. Anyway, it's a delight to see you and Anna wanting to live your lives for the Lord and to raise your family. It's beautiful to see you and Anna dedicate your children to the Lord a few months ago. And I know that you want to walk by faith. And the Lord is your strength, and he'll help you to overcome any anxieties and fears that you might have. Just ask you a few questions. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
Believe that he gives eternal life to all who believe in him. Mm-hmm. And this is a life that can never be lost. Do you believe that? Mm-hmm. Based upon your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. While you're sharing your testimony, I noticed you didn't look up at anybody either. Well, listen, you can look up. You don't have your glasses on. Anna, I am glad that you and Alex decided to come back to Faith EBC and to learn and to grow. And looking forward to you and Alex being in a Bible class and a small group and praying with your kids and teaching them how to live. What a privilege it is to be able to do that. I'm just going to ask you a few questions, and I'm going to baptize you. You heard what I asked your husband. I'm going to ask you different ones. What high school did you go to? No. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he gave his life for you?
Yes.
Do you believe, having placed your trust in him, that he has granted you the gift of life?
Yes.
You've passed from death to life, and you have eternal life now as a present possession. Do you believe that? based upon your confession of faith. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says, why do you like it so warm? Well, if it was cold and I was in here for so many times, I'd be shivering. And I was out in the cold this past winter, and I couldn't even get my words out. So I didn't want that to happen today. So come on a little closer. Thank you. Mia, where's your parents, grandparents? Oh, right there. Oh, they're taking pictures of you. Can you see them? Not real well, right? Okay. Well, you look in that direction and they'll take a picture of you. There you go. Mia, you know what you're doing today is meant to be a godly example for Kim, yeah, and for Sam, for Lynn. And you're sort of blazing trail for them as the eldest. And your faith is very important to them. And so you keep walking with them and help them, love them, pray with them. And your mom and dad, yeah, you know that they're counting on you as well. But you see, the Lord Jesus is counting on you. And he wants you to grow up as a godly young woman. And you need to be praying already, as your mom and dad are already, that you'll find a godly young man. So we'll pray accordingly. Mia, do you believe that Jesus is a Christ and he gave his life for you? Do you believe that having placed your trust in him, you've been granted the gift of eternal life?
Yes.
And do you believe that this is a life that can never be lost?
Yes.
Based upon your confession, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Cold. It's cold, isn't it? Laura did a great job in singing. Mama, great job. You know, baptism is a lot in terms of just, as I said to Mia, a blazing trail for family. And but here you are, the youngest, but the biggest. Oh, no, Martin's a little bit bigger, eh? Yeah. Yeah. You know, Mom and Dad have been praying for you and looking forward to the day when they'd see this. And so what you're doing today is an answer to their prayers. And, you know, you two are, you know, be looking for a life's mate, a young lady who loves the Lord and will pray with you, read the scriptures with you, and live a godly life, use your home, practice hospitality, and tell others about the Lord Jesus. There's no greater life, no simpler life than that life. Killian, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who gave his life for you?
Yes.
Having placed your trust in the Lord Jesus, you realize that you've been granted a gift of life.
Yes.
And this life is a life that can never be lost. Do you believe that?
Yes, I do.
Based upon your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Fella, Victor. I'm going to ask the baptismal candidates to come up, and Henry and Nat, if you would. Somehow I'm thinking, Les, come on up, Les. We're just going to have a word of prayer for these men and women who love the Lord. I'm going to ask Henry to pray for Frank. And I'm going to ask Les to pray for Alex and Anna. You've known them since they're or Alex, since he was a little guy. And then, Nat, I'll ask you to pray for Mia and Killian, if you don't mind, okay?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we're so grateful that we've been able to watch this, been able to witness each of these candidates getting baptized. I just want to pray especially for Frank today. Thank you so much that you brought people into his life who cared enough about him to share the gospel with him and help him to understand that there's certainly a better way. And he expressed that in his testimony. And Lord, that was good. So just pray for Frank today, not only for this day, but Lord, as he continues his journey with you and seeks to learn about who you are, what you've done for him, continues to understand that in a better way, that he would grow in gratitude towards you, and that would just become contagious in the lives of other people, and that would draw more men and women to you. Pray that you give him strength, continue to grant him joy, And Lord, just to always seek everything that he needs from you on a daily basis. Just thank you so much for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I thank you this morning that we could be here together to witness the baptism of these people here. And Lord, just thank you for the things that you've been doing in their hearts and their lives through your word, by your spirit. Lord, this morning I just thank you for Mia, and I thank you for her life, her joy, Lord, that you've given her. Lord, we pray that as she continues to walk with you, that you would encourage her in your word, and that she would grow as a disciple. Lord, that her joy would be a light in her school and with her friends. Lord, that people would be drawn to you through her. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to help her to be an example as well with her sister and her family. Lord, I just pray that also for Killian this morning. And Lord, I just thank you for him, Lord, and getting to know him through youth, and just exciting to see his faith grow and as he walks close with you, Lord, and just his willingness to be a leader, to go step out and to serve you, Lord. I just pray that you would encourage him with his family, Lord, as they walk with him, Lord. And I just thank you for his example, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that he would have the words to say with his friends and to be a good example, a good testimony with them, Lord. Just pray these things in your name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I am so encouraged by this morning's service here. I thank you for each of the people that got baptized here this morning. I think it's a sign of a healthy church when people's lives are changed. And I pray for each one here, first of all, in the audience, myself included, that we would continue to make changes in our lives. I especially am thankful for Alex and Anna and for the decision they have made to raise their family in a godly way. And Father, I know you're pleased too. And I pray, Lord, that you give them lots of strength, perseverance as they read your word together and as they pray together. Father, just give them a strong marriage and a strong family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we do thank you for each one here and support of each one who's been baptized. Lord, we pray that the power of your word would work in each heart, that together we would represent you in a godly way. We wouldn't take our freedoms for granted, but that we would long to live for you and to honor you. And of course, this might mean suffering on our part. Thank you, Lord, for the homes represented. And Father, if there's anyone here today who maybe understood the gospel for the first time, may they just realize that simply believing, they've been granted the gift of eternal life. If there are others here today who simply want to talk and maybe just try to get this sorted out a little more, that they'd realize that we'd be more than willing to do that. Undertake, Lord, for the young people that are here and the choices that they're making, help them to realize that, again, their lives speak loudly, and may they, too, represent you in a godly way. Thank you for each one here today, and thank you for each one who was baptized and just their life, their example. In Jesus' name, amen.